You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Tori, only on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the show. Today is Thursday, February 16th. Tori's out today, but I'm joined by the beautiful Katarina Kozaias. Welcome to the show, Katarina.
Woohoo! Good morning, Sam.
And Katarina is a friend of the station and also a host here. You've been here since November, I just saw.
Yes. I did my first show with you in August as a guest on this show.
That's right. That's how we met.
That's how we met. And then I started my own show in November,
Yes. And the show is called LA 40, mm-hmm. Life After 40, right?
Right.
Okay. So I think that pretty much is self-explanatory. Now, you show is going to be on next right here on this channel and also on video. So you can actually see the video show just by switching over to the video channel at 11 right after this show. So tell us a little bit about the show, Katarina. How did it come about?
Sure. And what's the whole point of it? So if you're listening right now and you've got some coffee in your hand because it is the morning, I would throw a little tequila in there.
Oh, I see. Okay. That's how you start your day.
Because that's how you start your day. The show came about, Sam, because I am turning 40 in March.
Wow.
So just a few weeks from now. It's actually exactly in a month, March 18th.
Right.
And
so it's something you looked forward to, and now it's going to be behind
and
you
And it's going to be behind me soon. And, you know, I was doing a little bit of thinking over the summer, and I thought, well, what does that mean? You know, I'm coming up to the end of a decade, and I'm just about to go into the next decade.
Right.
And what I've come to figure out is that it seems to be those transition years, 29, 39, 49, 59,
right,
where you sort of take even a bigger pause than you normally would.
Right.
And you sort of assess, where did I come from and where do I want to go?
Right.
So I thought, well, if I'm thinking this way, there have to be other Gen Xers in that 38, 39, 40, 41 band that are sort of trying to figure it out as well.
Right.
And then I thought, well, shit, if it's just me, then it's got to be everyone else too. So I thought, let's just call it Life After 40.
Right.
And the show delves into what the heck that means.
Right. So you've obviously given it some thought, right? I mean, it's been a big part of you if you decided to dedicate a whole show to it and stuff.
Right.
Have your 30s been for you?
So it's really interesting, Sam, because, you know, my 30s were great at times. And at other times, they weren't that great. So early 30s were fantastic. I was feeling good, looking good. Life was good. And then, for any of you ladies listening who may have passed this yourselves, 33 to 37-ish just became a miserable, dark place.
Wow.
Because I really started feeling society's pressure
Hey, you have to have a baby, right?
You have to get married, you have to settle down, biological clock, et cetera, et cetera.
Right.
And so I started becoming consumed with this feeling of, wait a second, like maybe I'm doing it wrong, maybe I'm missing something, because my friends were starting to get engaged and get married and have a baby and have baby number two. Some of them are getting divorced, and I'm thinking, oh my God, now I'm five steps behind.
Right.
So I went through a little bit of a down slump in the mid-30s.
Uh-huh.
And then I woke up about a year ago and I thought, well, now I'm 39. I still look good. I still feel good. And really, I have so much life ahead of me that I want to make sure that the next 40 years are just as fabulous as they can be.
That's true.
You know, and society, Sam, really, you know, it's got this underlying message that we have to, that we somehow, as we age, we lose our value. Right? Mm. That you're only valuable if you're a millennial. You're only valuable if you're 25. We'll only look at your ideas if you're young.
Right, we all want youth, you know?
Right, we all want youth. But we're really forgetting that in your 40s and your 50s and your 60s is when you take all that early life experience and you actually come to understand and recognize who you are as an individual. And that is when you have the power to do something really positive in your life.
That's true. You've got a lot of experience.
Absolutely.
You can do a lot of self-actualization, which is what they call it.
Totally. And self-awareness and all that stuff. You know, and if you think that a lot of us are really, knock on wood, are going to live till we're 90, that's a heck of a lot of time left.
I know. I don't know. I want to live that long unless I'm very healthy, you know, but I can't see that. So when I'm seeing my aging parents, I'm like, you know what? I don't want to be old. You know, let me go some other way.
Right. Yeah, I agree with that, too.
So that's what I'm saying. You know, I mean, sometimes people, I mean, not sometimes, but we always like are sad for people that die early and everything. But you know what? Look, they at least avoid all this like later age suffering and all that stuff, you know?
The best for me would be to live a really nice life, have all my faculties together, And sometime just have, you know, quietly have a little like heart attack in my bed at night right. when no one would notice, no one would be bothered, I wouldn't feel it.
No, isn't that what we don't like, right? But that's not how it is.
It's not how most of it is, unfortunately.
No,
so.
No.
So, yeah. So I had, it's funny, Sam, because part of what brought me to Los Angeles, so I'm originally from Canada. And I grew up in Canada, in Calgary.
Where, in Toronto?
Calgary.
Oh, in Calgary.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. Not a lot of Calgarians in Los Angeles, but,
right.
But I was from there. So lots of winter, lots of cold. I'm happy to be in L.A. in February.
Yeah, right?
And
I know.
Not up there.
Although we got the biggest storm coming. Did you know that tonight?
I heard something about like
they're
a
saying
lot
the biggest
rain.
Storm in like years.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
But it's going to be a rainstorm, right? It's
a rainstorm, yeah. And winds probably and stuff. But but 4 to 6 inches, I mean, we haven't even heard of shit like this yet.
Wow.
So, yeah,
it's
starting
gonna
tonight.
The city.
I know. Who knows? I love rain. Let's just... hope we don't get any mudslides and all kinds of damage and shit because we're not prepared for that kind of thing.
You know, and that's the thing with here is it's the mudslides you got to worry about, right?
Right?
Yeah.
All the houses on the hills, you
Ooh.
Know, on stilts and shit.
Come on. I mean,
my God, you know.
It's funny. I think about that sometimes, you know.
Do you? Don't you?
Well,
you when
know,
you drive up on Mulholland and stuff.
Well,
and
I think about
houses.
It actually. I think about what I think about more is a tsunami coming when I'm down like in Venice and stuff.
Venice, yeah.
And you just think if it came,
uh-huh.
it's so flat.
That's true,
you
right?
You have nowhere to escape. You know, they have the
I
escape
know.
Routes. You've seen them, the evacuation routes.
I've seen
routes.
Tsunami
warnings
yeah, routes,
and stuff.
Routes or whatever
the signage,
along the beach, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
That tripped me out when I first moved here.
I know.
They had the evacuation
but you know what?
Signs.
I was also at the beach once and I was thinking, you know, during an earthquake, the beach is the best place to be. Mm. There's nothing to fall on you, right?
True.
Right? So there could be a tsunami, but if there's not...
Right, that's funny.
The beach is the best place to be.
That's a great idea. Okay, I got to think about that.
Right, so go live on the beach or something, you know?
Totally.
And don't ever leave. But yeah, you can't live a life where you're afraid all the time, you know?
No.
And unfortunately, many people live like that, and it's sad, you know? You got to be able to... I don't know, like live your life, you know, come from wanting to do things, not from being afraid, you know. I got to tell you, last night I went to this event and there were a couple of like celebrities there and stuff, you know, who were cool. doing the show. And so I walked up to them. I got like a VIP ticket, so I was able to get in the back and actually see them. And
cool.
So I went and introduced myself to each one of them because yeah. I'm a big fan and stuff. By the way, it's Adam Carolla. You know Adam Carolla?
Oh, yeah, of course.
Right. Do you know Dennis Prager?
No.
No, a lot of people don't know Dennis Prager, but
Dennis.
He's a conservative radio talk show host
okay.
all over the country. He's been around for many years. And he's a very, he gives you clarity because when he spends a lot of time thinking about things.
Okay.
So it makes like, he makes a lot of sense. So I love him too. He's written books and stuff. So they had a show together. And so I went in the back and, you know, and then I went to introduce myself to them. It was tough, you know, I mean, it's like, you don't really know what to say and everything,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so after that, I'm like, I started talking to this guy who was standing in the corner and drinking and stuff. And I introduced myself and we were talking. And I'm like, did you come for Adam or for Dennis? He says, well, I like Dennis a lot. I said, why don't you go introduce yourself? Well, you know, maybe later. I said, no, go now.
Sure, yeah.
And he was so timid. And
wow.
I finally said, here, I'll go with you, right? So we went halfway there and I see him like constantly trying to turn away and move away. I said, look, this is called social anxiety, but
yeah.
do it anyway. In the end, I don't think he did it.
Wow.
Like, I don't think he did it. But you can see when you watch him, you see how strong those fears are.
Right.
You know?
And really, like it's just one person meeting another person.
Right.
You know, but you
right.
can feel the fear.
But when there's low self-esteem or when you're shy, whatever it is, it's very hard, you know. So imagine these people having to meet women and,
right, yeah,
you know make
and,
new
and
friends.
Or to go try to get a loan at a bank or,
right.
you know, any of that.
So, yeah. you know, I mean, I'm mostly a shy person, you know. Usually when I go in, I'll be by myself for a while and then I start talking to people and stuff, you know.
Yeah.
But it's still, it's very hard socially when you have to walk up to somebody. Doesn't matter who it is, really.
That's so true. And you know, it's funny because you kind of wonder. Like, I need to do a little bit more reading on this, but you wonder how much of that is naturally part of your genetic makeup,
right,
and how much of that was cultivated in your growing up.
Right.
Right. How much of it was like the nurture versus environment argument. Because they say, I had some guests, clinical therapists on my show a few weeks ago, and they were saying that by the age of five, 85% of our character is already formed.
Really?
That's nuts.
Wow.
By the age of five.
Yeah.
You know, whether you're going to be outgoing, whether you're going to be shy, whether you're going to be all of that, you know.
That makes sense. That's why we're so screwed up sexually, because everything happens so early when we don't understand anything yet.
Right.
And things become associated with sex for a kid, you know. Mm-hmm. And I believe that most problems we have, not only sexual problems, but all problems in general, are from childhood, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's probably why, because by the age of five, that's it. That's who you are, right?
Yeah.
For the most part. But so that's, you know, I don't know if it's personality. Maybe it's more like, yeah, well, maybe it's personality and temperament, but not so much character. I mean, character is something you have to build, obviously, over the years.
Yeah, that's true. Temperament,
right?
Is probably the better word.
Right,
yeah,
right.
Yeah.
But as far as who you are and what you do and stuff, you know, that takes years, I think, of work, you know. So, but that's really amazing. So let's go back. I mean, you brought up kids and stuff. So now, I mean, do you feel it's only social pressure, or do you also feel an inner pressure to have kids?
You know, I'll be really honest with you. In that mid-30s, I was feeling inner pressure. Like the body really, it's weird, because when I was in my 20s, I used to laugh at that.
Really?
I just thought it was BS, and I was like, oh, whatever, these crazy women that can't find a date. Right? That's what I used to think. And then I became one of those women. But it was, there's a real, it's like your body physically, biologically is feeling that it's ready to nurture life.
Wow.
You could really feel that coming from the body as well as from, you know, the messaging from society and advertising and all of that. So that has since left me a little bit.
Right.
I mean, I'd like to be a mom. You know, as I said, I'm turning 40. It's getting on the little bit of the late side. But I don't have that drive internally anymore the way I did 5 years ago.
I see. Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
But that's actually the tail end of it, because I think it starts probably when a woman is 18 or 20, right?
Right, you know.
She starts becoming fertile and stuff.
They say fertility starts to drop by a lot at age 27.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
So if you think about it, when a woman first starts menstruating, she's 11, 12, 13. So by 33, it's been 20 years already
that's
or more.
That's true, right?
So by 27... you know, you're becoming kind of out of the loop.
Yeah.
But society has evolved in such a way that, you know, we decided we wanted to educate our women. So then they started going to university. So then they wanted to work. So then they started to get married later in life. So women, most women now in America, I think, are having their first child at 26, I think it was.
Really?
Which is at the peak and right before it drops off.
That's true,
so
right.
So that's pretty late,
right,
considering we should... 100 years ago, we would have been having them at 17.
Right. That's true. So now, did you consciously decide, I'm going to wait later in life? I mean, are you busy with a career?
Right. You know, I've had a couple of some really solid relationships. They were long-term relationships.
Right.
We chose not to go down the marriage path.
Right.
And in between that, I was working on some fun things career-wise that had me traveling and this and that. I don't think it was ever a conscious effort. I think for me personally, I like the idea of a family unit.
Yeah.
So if I'm going to raise kids, I'd like to raise it with someone.
Right.
You know, and go the traditional route. And that's not for everyone, you know, but I do have some women my age that, you know, are going to the sperm bank and they're looking at the books and they're trying to find, you know, the dad with the blonde hair and the Harvard degree. And I that's not for me. Can't do it that
way. Harvard degree, that's a good one, yeah. But yeah, I mean, people do all kinds of things, you know. So, but you're right, and I salute you for that, because you had relationships, but you didn't marry because you felt... either you weren't ready or it wasn't the right guy or whatever.
Right, and I would rather move on at that point than get into a marriage and then have it fall apart 5 years later.
Exactly.
When you already kind of know that it would, you know?
Yeah, yeah. And that's, you know, and that's why I say, I repeat this this mantra, that the only reason to marry someone, to commit for the rest of your life, is if you really want to be with that person for the rest of your life. You feel you don't want to be with anybody else except for that person.
But the thing is, though, Sam, does that change?
Maybe it could. It could. But at the time...
Oh, yeah, at the time.
At the time. And I'll tell you, this is as opposed to family pressure or age pressure or like all the pressures we were talking about, you know. Some people get pregnant and they decide, well, let's just get married. That's the wrong reason. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, do you really want to be with this person just because you're pregnant?
I agree with you. If, right? if at the time you right. don't have that feeling of this is the person I want to be with the rest of my life,
right.
then don't do it.
Right. right. And I'll give up everything else
right.
pretty much and mm-hmm. Or assume that you will. You know, you don't
right.
have to.
right.
Yeah. So, yeah, so I totally get it.
At least
you know?
Let the wedding be happy, right?
Exactly, yeah. But you're not into having kids outside of wedlock.
I just don't want to be a single mom.
Yeah.
Not that there's anything wrong with it. I just think it's incredibly difficult.
Right, it is.
You know?
And I think there is something wrong with it. I mean, I think kids need the father
parents.
At home. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, look, I have two grown kids. I was married to their mother for about 7 years. My son hardly knew what it was like to be in a family with everybody's together. And
were you working a lot?
No. I mean, I was very close with them.
Okay.
And I still feel very close to them. I love them to death and everything. And when we're together, we have a great time. But at the same time, I feel that if I had been there every day of their life, they would have turned out quite differently than they did.
Mm-hmm.
So I think a father's influence in the home, it's not enough to have
daily influence.
Just the dad, you know? I mean, I was with them. Look, I'd take them out all the time. I'd see them all the time. It wasn't like a weekend dad, you know? I mean, even during the week, I'd see them 3-4 times a week, really. But I didn't raise them in the home.
Mm.
From right. an early age, you know, so and that's why I knew I was devastated with that breakup, because I knew I felt my kids are being taken away from me, you know, even though they could be down the street. It's not the same.
It's not the same. It's not the same to wake up and see them in the hallway first thing in the morning, or to sit
right.
and have breakfast.
Right, and to discipline them
right.
and give them the values.
You know, yeah.
Yeah, you can't only be with them for fun.
Right.
You know, for fun times and stuff. And so I regret that, but I don't regret having left or broken up with her mother, because it just wasn't going anywhere. You know, we hated each other,
yeah.
you know, so.
And that's the thing, is I think you have to look at it and say, this relationship isn't working.
Right.
And I think in the long run, it's better to move your separate ways rather than to stay in something that
right.
is angry and miserable and
yeah.
negative.
And how many years can you stay like that?
Right.
You know what
you
I'm
know,
saying?
And why?
So, and then you ask yourself, so how can I suddenly, like, really can't stand the person that I was sleeping in the same bed with, and then I married and had kids? But the bottom line is that it does happen. Mm. And because you married for the wrong reasons. I mean, I married because I felt the situation was right, because the families were getting along, same religion,
yeah.
all that
and
stuff.
You were
probably
the right age,
27. Yeah,
right. Mm-hmm.
27. So I'm like, yeah, maybe this is the right one, right?
Yeah.
And I got married, and it, you know, I regret it. Although, like I said, I have two beautiful kids, and I'm very happy to have them. But I'm ready to have more kids, actually. We were talking about that yesterday.
Oh, yeah?
On the show, because they were talking about the implications of older dads, you know, because George Clooney, I guess, at 55 is expecting twins.
They're
and,
announcing, yeah, they just
and,
did.
You know,
I
you're
think
getting
Jay-Z
all these
is into his 50s now with babies number two.
Right, you know,
yeah.
I mean, all these celebrities do because they can. And they can connect with younger women who are willing to do that.
Mm.
But there's also drawbacks, you know. I mean, look, they're saying once the kid's 10 years old, you're already 65, you know.
Yeah.
So that kind of sucks.
How did, yeah, like how
but
does
at
that
the same
affect
time,
the kid, you know?
Yeah, well, I don't know if it does or not. Mm. You know, I mean, you still have a father at home, you know, and that's...
And I suppose when you're a kid, your father is your father, right?
Right, exactly. Yeah. You know, who cares?
But
how
does a 55-year generation
yeah, you don't
gap...
Have, I know,
that's
right?
That's a lot, you know? I mean, you know,
that's true. That's
it's
true.
Crazy.
That's why people have to do this when they're young. You know, the younger, the better, man. My mom had me when she was 19.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, yeah. And they have the energy to run around with you.
Yeah.
And, you know, now I look at it and I'm thinking, okay, if I meet someone and we want to start a family, we probably still can. On the flip side, I really enjoy sitting in my bed on a Saturday morning till 10 o'clock and pouring a cup of tea and going back into bed for 2 hours and reading, you know, and And it's a nice life.
And not
having,
to
run around to hockey practice, soccer practice, judo practice, judo, whatever they do. I like my bed in the morning on a Saturday.
I know. Well, get ready. Because once that kid comes out, once it pops out, your life changes forever at that moment. Mm. And it's never the same again, you know, because not for the worse necessarily.
It can be.
Just different, you know. It's just that you don't have that freedom to up and leave whenever you want to, you know. So, and you get to practice, I guess, if you get yourself a dog or something, practice with that first. See if you can stand not being able to leave or to be tied down to something that's alive, you know. So, do you have dogs?
No.
Yeah, I know. I'm not an animal person either.
I'm not a huge animal person either. Yeah. Sorry, animal lovers.
Yeah. You see, the thing is, I love dogs, but I don't want one, you know?
Right.
I love it when it's other people's. But I can't live with animals at home. That's something that my mom instilled in me, I think, you know?
Do you have any plants at home, Sam?
No plants, because I don't really... I barely have pictures on the wall. Are you kidding me? I don't ever stop and go, you know what? Let me decorate the apartment this way.
I think that's a male tendency for the most
part. Right? Yes. It pretty much stays the way it is. But at least it's clean and it's neat, and I love neatness and everything. So I'm happy with where I live, you know?
Totally.
And it's like a mile from here, so how can you beat that, you know?
Because that's the one thing, LAers, if you're listening, that's the one thing that kills me is traffic in this city.
The traffic does kill you, man.
Yeah, it'll destroy your soul. It's a 45-minute drive. minimum.
Minimum,
you know, you get in the wrong time of traffic, takes an hour and a half.
Right. You know what? I don't mind 45 minutes of driving 60, 70 miles an hour.
Right.
Right? But when you have to go stop and go for that long,
you know, I was on Santa Monica Boulevard last week. I swear to God, 2 miles took me almost 40 minutes.
Wow.
To go 2 miles.
2 miles. You could have walked faster.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. I could have walked faster. Jeez. Disaster.
You know, that's what I'm saying, man. I mean, it's hard to even conduct your life sometimes.
No, and it does. It does affect
So
life.
That's why I sort of like made it. So most of my life is within a 30-minute distance for me. Mm-hmm. And that's it, you know?
Yeah.
But, the traffic, it will suck your soul out, man. Mm. I mean, it's like unbelievable.
Well,
sometimes.
And I think they were, I think it was December 24th that they had, it made the national newspaper as a picture of the 405. Uh-huh. And it was just a traffic jam both sides.
Uh-huh.
And they were saying, like, the busiest highway in America.
Yeah,
And it was just gridlock on both sides, you know, 7 lanes across each way.
That's true,
yeah.
And you know that this intersection here, the 405 and the 101, is the busiest, supposedly, you know. Although I've seen some busier ones. I think the 10 and the 405 is pretty bad.
The 10 and the 405 is pretty bad, too.
Right. Yeah, it's very bad.
You know, and I spent quite a few years in Miami before coming to L.A.
Uh-huh.
And for me, everything in Miami is a maximum 15 minutes.
Right.
You know, so when I came over here, I thought, what is going on?
Yeah. So what was Miami like? It sounds like fun. I've been there in South Beach a couple times.
Yeah.
But I didn't really see much of Miami. But I like it that... I like the fact that there's water everywhere, you know, bridges. And here in L.A., we don't really have that,
you know,
right?
People say that L.A. is near the ocean, but it's like,
but
no.
But you don't have if you're water inland.
Right. If you're literally on the ocean, then you're near the ocean. But the rest of the city is like being, you know, central USA.
Exactly.
Whereas Miami is just bridges and water and the intercoastal. And there's water everywhere, which is one reason I love it.
Right.
Yeah.
Wow. So how long did you live there?
So I was there for just under 7 years, six and a half years.
And what did you do there?
And that was the segment of my life where I was working as a director of communications and media relations for a yacht company.
So look at you.
There.
You got to have a lifestyle probably, right?
I had
a
lifestyle back in the day. You know, Miami is definitely the hub, not just for America, but internationally for boating and yachting. And so it made sense career-wise for me to be there. I was contracted by a company that was manufacturing. And it was just swanky yacht parties and lots of lifestyle. And they would send me to Dubai and to Monaco and to Hong Kong and to St. Bart's. And so I got to do a lot of really fun traveling to really fun places and not have to pay for it.
Right.
It was amazing.
Meet a lot of rich people, too.
And hang out. Yeah.
Whoa.
But, you know, Sam, the one thing I can say is what I came to recognize by living in that world is everyone has this preconceived notion, or most people do, that the rich either come into their money through family money or somehow they got lucky. And what I came to recognize is these people, 80 to 90, I would say, 80 to 90% of them that have attained that level of wealth, of the private jets and the yachts and the this and that, they have worked damn hard for it. Wow. Like, these are the people that I see working at 2 in the morning, at 6 in the morning, working on a Saturday, working on a Sunday, you know?
Right.
And they're working for their success.
Yeah, you know? And that makes sense. I mean, that's a great observation, you know, because it doesn't just come to you and people don't understand. Mm-hmm. I mean, yes, some people inherit and some people it comes easy for them and they're lucky.
Sure, yeah, some people.
But you're saying the great majority actually work hard for it.
If you're out there and you're complaining about your $70,000 a year job, and all you've done is, you know, make a point of every Sunday, every Monday, every Tuesday, sit and watch football for 14 hours a week.
Right.
Okay, well, don't complain about the $70,000 a year job, right? If you want the $1.4 million a year job, these guys are not watching 14 hours of football a weekend, you know?
Right, exactly.
Not that one is better than the other. It's just a different lifestyle. But be conscious of your lifestyle and that you're the one that is driving that.
Right. And nor is it a guarantee that you're going to be a millionaire if you work all these hours either,
true.
You know?
This is true.
But but if you don't, you're definitely not going to make it, you know?
Although I do get a lottery ticket once in a while. I keep my fingers crossed, Sam.
Did you ever win anything?
You know, the most I've won has been like, I think one time about $100 and a free ticket.
Oh,
I haven't been a big winner.
Yeah.
But my uncle up in Canada, my uncle Lucky, if you're listening, shout out, he won a car a couple of weeks ago.
Are you serious?
He was at a raffle. He bought a raffle ticket and he won a car.
Wow.
Like, that's just cool.
That's very cool.
Yeah.
So it does happen. Yeah. You can win something.
And then he turned around and sold it. But hey.
That's right. It reminds me of this joke that I always tell. This man, it's like he prays to God every night. He's like, please, please, let me just win the lottery just once. You know, I'm not asking for a lot, but I really want to win the lottery. Mm-hmm. And every night he would do this until one night God reveals himself and he goes, would you meet me halfway and get a fucking ticket first? So the lesson is you got to buy a ticket in order to win.
You got to step up to the plate in some capacity, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
You got to make it happen, man. Yeah,
so that's good. But, you know, Sam, I think in America, you know, we have kind of won the lottery because there, you know, there's so much opportunity. It's the land of opportunity. And people say, okay, the economy and this and that and times are different. Absolutely, I agree with all of that. But when you look at the fact that we live in a place where really, if you put your mind to it, there's not a lot that can hold you back. We don't have people coming with militias, you know, and the rebels coming out of the jungle to kill us. So we don't have, you know, crazy governments that are having coups. And we don't have, crazy weather that comes in and, you know, for most of the USA anyway. So we are pretty lucky here.
Yeah, and we don't have the poverty.
Right.
Although we do have poverty, but we don't have the kind of poverty, the degree that you can see in other countries.
Absolutely.
Or the violence. You're right, you know, and we have a lot of comfort and convenience here, living here. And that's why everybody wants to come here.
This is true.
You know, and people do. And when people criticize America and they want to make it like different somehow, like Europe, I'm like, you know, I mean, this... Europe is not America, and America is not Europe, you know?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And this is a very special place, and I wish they would keep it this way.
Well, fun little fact, speaking of Canada and America, because Canada's obviously very similar.
Right.
We just have that terrible weather. So it's funny
But you're also cooler people. You're more laid
chill.
Back and peaceful.
We're chill. But it's funny because I read a stat the other day, and the four largest cities in Canada, technically, are Toronto, Vancouver, Montreal, and then Calgary.
Right. So
Calgary is technically the fourth largest.
Okay.
But Toronto, Vancouver, Montreal are the big three. But by virtue of population, it actually goes Toronto, Vancouver, Montreal, and then L.A. L.A. has more Canadians in it than the city of Calgary.
Whoa.
Isn't that crazy? Over 1 million Canadians are living in Los Angeles. Yeah.
Wow.
So there's a lot of us. So it goes, and then, you know, Calgary comes in fifth. That's just crazy.
It is crazy. Wow.
So we like to come here, too.
Yeah, exactly. Because there's nothing like America, I'm telling you. You know, we might be on the same continent, and Canada has its great stuff, and we have our problems here. And but you know what? All in all, I'm so... lucky to get up here every day and every night, you know. And and sometimes in the evening it's really quiet outside and stuff. I look at the sky and I'm going, this sky is pretty safe, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, look how exposed we are to like a bomb or something, you know. And yet it's pretty remote.
But see, then you wonder. It's funny because I was saying the same thing. You know, how much of this is, you know, back to that point of yours about fear,
right?
We're always told that we've got to be careful of terrorist attacks and threats and this and that. But when you look at how exposed we are, how for most of us, we go through our day and any crazy guy with a bomb in his truck could come by and blow up the corner. But that doesn't happen.
Exactly. It doesn't happen
so
very often, but it could, you know,
that.
And that's what I'm saying.
It could.
And that's, you know, I mean, that's what this whole nation is divided about and everything. But
absolutely.
Yeah, but who knows?
We're
you know?
Safe today, Sam.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And instead, we can talk about the fact that Playboy is bringing
naked pictures
photos back.
What do you think of that?
What I think of that is I think that's what they should be doing. You know, I mean, the thing is, it's a very elementary business decision here. I mean, what is Playboy known for?
Yeah.
Right? I mean, look at the brand. If I was like a marketing consultant, I would come in and I said, okay. Okay, so people read the articles. But what does Playboy stand for? You know? And it stands for a man's magazine with nude girls.
Right?
So now they're saying they even took out the tagline that says entertainment for men.
Huh.
So now it just says Playboy and they have the naked pictures back.
But, well, you know what? And I think it's good that they're bringing the naked pictures back because I think that's exactly what the Playboy brand is.
Exactly.
If you take that away, then what are you? Just
what
another
is Playboy?
Magazine?
Exactly.
You know, like, why would I pick up Playboy over GQ
over
Vanity Fair? You know
what
I'm
maybe
saying?
They have
the
great,
difference?
Yeah, maybe they have great articles, but who's going to check it out?
And I think they have built an empire. I mean, not I think they have on that. And I don't think male preferences are going to change anytime soon. So why would you deviate away from that just to be a little more politically correct in the 21st century? I think
that's
that was a mistake for them.
Yeah. No, personally. And that's why
they shied away from being who they are. And
a year later,
them.
They changed their minds, you know, and they're going right back to where they were. And they're going to
answer. You know what? And in my opinion, if you don't like it, don't buy it.
Yeah.
You know?
That's what this country is about. Yeah. And you know what? To me, Playboy is not porn, you know? It's nudity. Nudity is not... To me, nudity is not sex. There's two different things. Mm. And let me show you what I mean. This week, we had a photographer here, a woman that spent about several weeks in Africa taking pictures of like the indigenous people there.
Mm-hmm.
I have a book here. I'll show you after the show. It's unbelievable. Mm. And these people walk around naked. Okay, now that's nudity.
Right.
But they don't think about sex all the time, you know?
It's not sexualized. And we can
exactly.
Yes.
And we can take pictures of them, put them in a book, and it's not porn.
And it's art, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So that's why I'm saying nudity.
Makes
you know,
a distinction.
Yeah, you know? And, you know, so that's what I'm saying, you know? I mean, it's supposed to titillate, and if it does, then it's entertainment. But it doesn't have to be porn. You can't compare hardcore porn...
No.
To Playboy pictures.
Right, I agree with
it's
that.
It's two different things.
Yeah.
What about, how do you feel about 50 Shades? Have you seen it yet?
I have not seen it. I saw number one.
Yes. Have you read the books?
I read all three books.
All three books. That's usually how women arrive at 50 Shades Darker this week.
That's right. $100 million I heard it did.
Really?
In the box office.
Well,
yeah,
that's
they,
not
you know,
bad.
Came out on Valentine's Day. So, But I haven't seen number two. I liked number one.
Yeah.
You know, I thought it was
that
a fun
was
little
pretty
movie.
Good, right?
Yeah, it was a good little movie. The books were good to read, you know.
I thought, I never read the books. I did see the first movie.
Yeah.
And I thought it was pretty cool, actually, you know.
Yeah, it wasn't bad.
I was seduced by her. Mm. Her innocent look was just, like, amazing. I think she played the character perfectly.
I think she did, too. And, Sam, when you read the book, it's exactly how they described her, is that she's not... the bombshell, you know what I'm saying?
She's just
the
like
girl
really
next
innocent,
door that's working at the hardware store that, you know, is just like swept up by this guy.
Right.
And I think the casting, for me, I think was fantastic.
Yeah,
I
right.
I thought they both cast really well, both characters.
Yeah, that's true. And but I was asking, you know, does the fact that he's a billionaire make him more attractive to... to female readers and stuff, you know.
Yes.
I mean,
I could lie
wouldn't it be
and say
like,
no.
Yeah, I mean, wouldn't it be more like almost a crime movie if this guy was doing it to this girl. And,
right. That
he just was like just, a trailer park. Right.
That's funny. This would be a big problem.
Yeah.
If he wasn't, a billionaire. And,
exactly.
And
so and that has something to do with
something
it.
To, yeah. That's
because I think it has to do with the power, right? And that's what BDSM is about. It's about power and transferring power and switching roles and things like that, you know. So.
Which, of course, you can still do in the trailer park if you've got the right partner.
Exactly.
You can
right.
have some fun anywhere. But,
you're not going to sell books.
This made the story much more engaging. I mean, he would sweep her off on his private jet and they
exactly.
would go up to the penthouse.
Yeah,
I mean,
so how
part of that
you
was
say
part
no.
of the fantasy too.
Yeah, you know. That's what I'm saying.
Totally.
It just
so
makes
I
want
to see number two.
Yeah.
Yeah, I want to go see it.
Yeah, that one made $100 million already. Oh wow, that's not bad at all.
Not bad at all.
Wow. So yeah, 50 Shades Darker, if you haven't seen it, I guess now's the time to go see it.
Out
you
in
know?
Theaters.
And what's the third one called?
The 50 Shades of Grey, 50 Shades Darker, and 50 Shades of something. I don't remember.
Yeah, okay.
But
deeper, maybe. 50 Shades Deeper. I don't know. Maybe.
I don't remember.
But I just dropped something. But yeah, you know, the whole story of the story itself. Mm-hmm. I mean, just the fact that she sold so many books like this.
Well,
and
you know, they said Middle America was reading it. Like,
right.
You know, the housewives in Alabama.
Right.
Were, like, enthralled by this story because, like, you know, they're looking for some fun out there, I guess.
Exactly. And I think also what's helped it is the fact that this Kindle and digital readers now, that people don't have to hold the book and show everybody,
right.
hey,
right.
I'm,
what
reading
I'm reading
this book, you know?
For sure that helps.
Right.
That's funny. What do you think about some of the Oscar movies coming up? I haven't seen anything this year.
I know, I haven't
oh,
either.
Oh, terrible.
Man.
I'm
I
terrible.
I know.
I have no idea this year.
Why do you think you don't go see as much as you used to?
Do you remember back in the day when you would go to a movie, you'd make it like an afternoon or you'd make it a date night and you'd go and it would be like $7, $12.
That's true.
The last
you get the
movie I went
everything.
To, Sam, cost me $45.
Yeah, for the popcorn
$20 to park my car.
Wow.
$20, yeah, clearly I didn't know where I was going.
Yeah.
$20 for the seat, it was like $17.99 or something.
Wow.
Then another $10 on popcorn
and popcorn and stuff.
Yeah. You know, and I'm going,
and you know what?
$55.
Wow.
Like, I'll just sit at home, watch something on Netflix for free. You know, it's crazy. So that deterred me most recently.
And you're right. You know what? I was doing the same math.
Yeah, it's
and tough. You know what? And it's for one person. If you two people go. And it's
right.
$100.
Yeah, if you want to take your kids to a movie, what are you going to spend $200?
$200 to get to the movies. Hell? I mean, my God, that's how much you used to spend to go to Disneyland for the whole
right.
family. You know? But,
think too, Sam, I think now, you know, it used to be that was one outlet. And then in the like late 80s, early 90s, the second outlet was to go to Blockbuster.
Right.
Right? So you'd go and you'd pick out five movies and you'd have a week to watch them. And now that everything is so accessible. Right, with Hulu and Amazon and Netflix, and it's on our phones, it's on
you
our iPads.
Stream and everything's
why
there.
Why don't you go out of your way?
Watching.
Yeah, so
yeah.
It's taken the adventure out of movies for me.
That's true. And they all show up on these services anyway, you know, eventually.
They
so.
All show up. You have to wait another couple of months, big deal, you know?
Exactly, you know.
And I also just find, Sam, too, that I don't have the time anymore.
Exactly,
like, you know,
right?
Living in this social media age, by the time I check my Twitter, my Facebook, my Instagram, my WhatsApp, my Messenger, my emails, and then respond to all that. I don't have any
you
time
have no time
left
right?
It's just so much.
What have we done with our lives? I mean, my God, you know. At least we're communicating with other people, you know.
This
it means
true.
We're communicating.
True. But then the thing is, people get offended.
Uh-huh.
They get offended because they're like, you know, oh, I see that you saw my message because on some of these apps you can see if the person received it.
Right.
But you haven't responded in 2 hours. And I'm like, oh my gosh. Like, I have a life. I have meetings. I have stuff going on. I can't respond to your message about, hey,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
So people need to just relax a little bit.
That's true, right? Well,
yeah.
So tell me, do you like music? Do you listen to music a lot?
You know, the Grammys were just on this weekend.
Right.
And I had conducted a little survey because going back to the LA 40 and Life After 40, there was an image that showed up. And it was, I think it was Entertainment Tonight or Access Hollywood or someone had posted this image. One side was Faith Hill in a red dress. Faith Hill is 49.
Okay.
And the other side was Carrie Underwood, also in a red dress, very similar cut. Carrie Underwood's 33. Okay. So I thought, okay, let me do a little fun little survey to my fan base. And I put out kind of a fun survey that said, who wore it better? Like the way they do in the magazine.
Right, right.
Right? And with a 16-year age gap, is there a difference? If a woman looks good, she looks good. And that I wanted to see what the audience was going to say. So 87% of the people polled pointed to Faith Hale looking better in her red dress than Carrie Underwood in hers, which I thought was really interesting.
Very interesting,
I mean, you know,
right?
You're talking a 50-year-old woman.
Right.
And 87% said Faith still got it.
That's
so
amazing,
there you
right?
go. We're not over the hill yet.
Yeah, yeah. But maybe I'm sure many of the ones that posted mm-hmm. are probably women, right?
Yeah, most of the responses are women.
Yeah, so of course they're gonna yeah, so they're gonna go for the older woman because they can relate to her, you know. Maybe they feel the 33-year-old is a threat, you know. I don't know, man.
That's funny.
Obviously, not a scientific.
I was gonna say I have to do a little more analytical, research on the next.
But it's interesting to hear, you know. I mean, yeah, just to think. I mean, you know, you look at Christy Brinkley at 60, and you go, "My God, right?
63."
I mean, how many 63-year-old women do you really look at as really sexy and attractive, mm-hmm. like universally? You
right,
know?
Right. Typically not. But again, I think society is changing, and I think we are more conscious of what we're eating. We're more conscious of exercising. We're more conscious, at least in the major metropolitan centers, of wanting to keep stylish and looking good.
Right.
So, I mean, you see people like, Halle Berry, I think, is 48, 49. Jennifer Aniston is 48, 49.
That's true,
these
right?
Women are almost 50.
Wow.
And you still look at them and say, well, she's cute, you know?
Very much so.
Yeah.
Very much so. Yeah. Wow. That's true.
So, but going back to your question about Grammys and music, or not Grammys, but music, I'm not a huge music person either.
You don't feel you need music in order to...
My sister does.
To lubricate your life.
My sister, the first thing she does when she wakes up in the morning is puts on music.
Right.
There's music always playing in the background.
Right, right.
I'm sort of music indifferent.
Really?
Yeah.
That's interesting. But okay, whatever, you know. I mean, I'm sure you got your things that get you going and stuff.
And now with all this crazy traffic that I'm in every day, I've come to start listening to podcasts.
Really? Oh, cool. Like, about people talking.
Yeah, people talking and just different things going on in the world and just kind of different themes and topics. At least to figure if I'm in the car for collectively 2 hours a day, I may as well be at some kind of educational,
right?
You know, and then when I get bored, I'll turn the radio on.
Yeah, that's true, right? Well, that's cool. You know, do you ever listen to audiobooks and stuff?
I do. I do like audiobooks as well. And lately, I've been all about delving into the topic of the subconscious mind.
Oh,
and yes, and so I've been learning a little bit about that and the power we have over our own thoughts. And how really as human beings, there's so much subconsciously happening that we're not even aware of.
Wow.
So that's
Do you feel
cool.
you're still like searching for who you are?
Absolutely.
Yeah?
Yeah. My question is, does that ever end?
Probably not. But I know when people start digging into these things, it's like still trying to figure out who am I, you know.
Yeah.
But that's a cool thing. Look, I mean... to me, I went through it in my 30s too.
Mm-hmm,
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I was trying to figure out what's going on. I felt everything was out of whack. I felt there's no order in the universe. I felt I was a victim of the universe. And when I did I got into the Kabbalah, which is spiritual mysticism, part of Judaism. And I loved that. I mean, it transformed my life. Suddenly I realized there is order. There is, you know, I started looking at things totally differently. And it's made me, I think, a better person.
You know, I'm not too familiar with Kabbalah, but the few friends that I have that do study it, that are in it, kind of, that have adopted it, they really have really fabulous values at their core. And so I think it's really good messaging about forgiveness.
It is, and about giving.
Right.
And yeah, that's what it's about. It's about giving.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's nothing wrong with that, you know. But going back to the subconscious, that's, you know, just another part of this whole thing, you know, where you're trying to figure out, okay, why am I feeling this? Why am I that? You know, where do I fit in into
That's why I started my radio show.
Right? That's awesome. Well, very entertaining. I always enjoy having you on the show, Katarina.
I love being here, Sam.
So tell us a little bit about your show. What are you going to talk about today?
Sure. So if you folks want to stick around, in about 10 minutes, we're going to be having our next guest on. and on my show, LA 40. And we're going to be speaking today with a couple of guests. The main in-studio guest is a gentleman named Mark Papia. Now, Mark is a journalist that transitioned into the world of social media. And he's had a really interesting career from ABC to Fox News to Yahoo. He originally was part of the team that started MySpace back in the day. Uh-huh. And he's in his mid-50s and found himself at a point where he was trying to compete with the young guys, you know, the 22-year-old programmers and this and that. And he thought, well, I don't want to compete with these guys because I've got so much more that I'm bringing to the table. But society is having a tough time recognizing that from a 55-year-old man, so I'm just going to start my own business.
Yeah.
So that's what he's done.
Good.
And it's going to be a really, really interesting dialogue about, you know, having the guts to start your own business later in life.
Yeah.
And really kind of working in this world of digital media that we all are kind of being forced to live in.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, and determine your own life, you know? Right? I mean, the thing is, don't just wait for things to happen,
yeah.
you know?
So we're calling it freer speech after 40. You know, are you more likely to say what you want? We'll find out.
Yeah. Well, stay tuned for that and also watch it on the video channel coming up.
Yes, watch us on the video
channel. And of course, when you can't watch or listen live, you go to our website, you find LA 40, mm-hmm. Katarina Kozayas. You can't go wrong. You can't miss it. Great show. And Katarina, thank you so much for joining me. We better get out of here so you can get into the other studio.
There we go. It's a lot of fun here at LA Talk Radio in the mornings.
And we love having you, of course, Katarina. So everybody, check out LA 40. And Katarina, all the best.
Up next.
Thank you for coming. Oh, and maybe I'll come on your show once too, right?
Yeah, we'll have to have you on my show.
Yeah, I don't get on the video shows very often, but you know, if you invite me, I'll go. I'm definitely over 40, so there you go. All right, everybody, thank you all for listening, and we'll see you tomorrow.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Tori, only on LA Talk Radio.